safety has assured as soon as you step through the door. Sanctuary was offered to anyone, no questions asked. It didn't matter who or what was chasing you. If you made it in the door of the monastery or the mosque or the cathedral or the temple, you were safe for the time being. Beginning this Wednesday, December 2nd, and lasting through the end of January, every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., our sanctuary, this sanctuary, will be open to offer you sanctuary. There is no commitment. There's nothing to sign up for. No one will ask you why you are here. This is a la carte. Come and go as you please. Show up at 12:30. Stay for just 10 minutes if that's all the time you have. Sit back and pray or sit up front and knit. Show up and take a nap or bring a novel to read. Bring your rosary, your yoga mat, the Torah, the Quran, the Bible, mala beads, a blanket and stuffed animal, or just your interest in quiet, shared space during the zaniness of the holiday season. Meditation cushions will be set out for those who enjoy using them. Walking meditation will be offered at 12:30 for those who enjoy Kinhin. Consider dropping in for midweek meditation moment, the 3M. Meetings will begin Wednesday, December 2nd at noon.
Thank you. Let us rest for a while today from work and worry and care. On this beautiful Sunday of frozen calm, and lift our hearts together with thoughts of thanks for all that we have, because we have so much. Let us sing with glorious nature a shared thanksgiving song. Come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
Have our candle lighter, our chalice lighter come up. We light this chalice and we give thanks for all that we have to give and all that we will receive in this coming year. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first hymn, number 347, Gather in Spirit. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church, LCUUC. My name is Kelly, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. We strive here to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. Whoever you are or whatever you've come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have known acceptance in their lives and those who have known the pain of exclusion. LCUUC is a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation. Regardless of who you love or what pronouns you use, you are welcome here. Please join us for a Thanksgiving feast in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to you joining in. Like and follow LCUUC on Facebook in order to get ongoing information about activities, and check out lcuuc.org to stay connected and on current services and events that are happening here. Please take a moment at this time to silence all electronics that you may have with you today. We're so pleased that you've chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
One of the ways we care for our community and our neighbors is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and by collecting non-perishables. Because we know that today it's us and tomorrow it's them, and any day those roles could change. If you've brought food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite all the children to stay up front and learn a song with Doug Estee today. And the song we're going to be doing is called Calling All the Children Home. So Doug, if you would take it away, and if all the children would come forward.
I have a question for you. See if you can tell me what this is. You ever see anything like this? It's a pot, yeah. In this case, it's a big black pot. And if you looked inside, you would be thoroughly disgusted. Yeah, because this hasn't been used to cook food for a long time. It's held plants and flowers and things and had water in it, so it's kind of rusty. But when it was used to cook food, it looked like this inside. And you could put all kinds of food in it, and you could put water and vegetables and meat and potatoes and all kinds of good stuff and seasonings. And then you could either put it on top of your stove and cook. You could actually throw it in the oven and bake something. Or you could hang it on a hook above a fire, like a campfire, and cook. And you keep putting things in it. And then when you're done, it'll look a lot better than this and smell really good. And then you can share it. And you just kind of walk along with a big dipper. And you come to the first person and you put some on their plate. And you go to the next one and you put some on their plate. Because it's really hot. You couldn't touch this part. It'd be way too hot. The big wire at the top is all bent from the heat now. But it doesn't get really hot up here. Or you can hold it with a hot pad. But you just keep scooping it out. And you can share your Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving coming up soon, just a few days, right? And Thanksgiving, I'll just set this down here. It's not hot, so you don't have to worry about it. But Thanksgiving is a time when usually a bunch of people get together and share their dinner or their lunch or whenever you decide to have it. I'm going to do this. And you invite friends, you invite family, you have maybe strangers come together, and you share what you've got, and they share what they've got. And it's really pretty nice. The thing I like about Thanksgiving is usually you have a day off from work and a day off from school, and so people get together, and they can spend the whole day kind of even playing outside. And when it's time to call them in, when it's time to get everybody in the house, somebody goes to the back door, and they open the door, and they go, and they call your names. They call Johnny. It's nice if you have an easy name to yell. That's a good thing to do. Name your kids an easy name that you can yell without a lot of effort. And I just happen to have a song about a big black pot like this. And we'll
we'll sing the part about the black pot a couple times over, and you'll kind of catch it on how to sing it later on. But first, when it's time for lunch or dinner, you go, Johnny, Mary, Claire, Lulu, Jeannie, Kevin, Jeff, Patty, Nancy, Rob. And of course, nobody comes the first time. You're having too much fun out there. You're playing maybe in the snow like this, or you're playing out in the grass, and you know it's not going to last very long. So you're still out there, and they have to go, Johnny, Mary, Claire, Lulu, Jeannie, Kevin, Jeff, Patty, Nancy, Rob. Shadows getting longer, lights growing dim. Supper's on the table, everybody come in. I've been playing at the river and I'm tired to the bone, calling all the children home. Home to the table and the big black pot. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone when we're calling all the children home. Okay, can you sing? Home to the table and the big black pot. Home to the table and the big black pot. There you go. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. Here we go. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten. No one is forgotten. No one is alone.
No one is alone.
When we're calling all the children home. When we're calling all the children home. Good. Everybody's sitting in everybody's place with the fresh scrub fingers and their fresh scrub face. It's quiet just a moment while sister says a grace, like she's calling all the children home. Here we go, ready? Home to the table and the big black pot. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone when we're calling all the children home. You could hear her voice in the middle of a crowd. It was never too late. It was never too loud. Smells just like home by the time we hit the door. There was always just enough. There was always room for more. Oh, out in the desert, down by the sea, you could hear a voice calling, Ollie, Ollie, in free. From the cities to the forest where the wild beasts roam, we're calling all the children home. Here we go. Home to the table and the big black pot. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone when we're calling all the children home. Home to the table and the home to the feast, where the last are the first, where the greatest are the least, where the rich will envy what the poor have got. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone when we're calling all the children home. One more time. Home to the table and the big black pot. Everybody's got enough, though we ain't got a lot. No one is forgotten, no one is alone. From the shacks of Soweto to the ice of Nome, from Baghdad City to the streets of Rome, we're calling all the children home. Johnny, Mary, Claire, Lulu, Jeannie, Kevin, Jeff, Patty, Nancy, Rob, Moisha, Isabel, Seafull, Kim, Muhammad, Mikhail, Red Hawk, Tim. Now later on, we're going to go back into the social hall, and there are a bunch of tables and chairs and plates and spoons and knives and all sorts of things to have a big feast all together. And we'll all be at the table. So you remember what you got to do? You have to go scrub your fingers in your face, right? Okay, very nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us today. Big hand for Doug. And if all of you would help me sing the kids back to their seats, they're not leaving today. It's an InterGen service. The words are in your order of service, and the song is For You Shall Go Out in Joy.
For You Shall Go Out in Joy.
Normally I tell a joke before the offertory, but for our Thanksgiving service, I'd like to be a little more serious than my normal self. I want to talk just for a moment about all the things we have done since this time last year. You've started your third full year with a full-time called minister. You've added more music. And I am thankful. You've begun the transition to year-round stewardship, and it's going well. And I am thankful. Through the hard work of so many of you, you remodeled much of the church, added a new organ, new clavinova, new sound equipment. It looks beautiful in here. You donated over 1,100 pounds of food to local food pantries since this time last year. Over $1,013 to the UUA's 2014 Guest at Your Table program. You volunteered at the Hope Center. You sent clothing and coats and underwear and socks to people who needed them. For the first time, you made family promise a reality in this church, and we've hosted several times. Over and over again, the Family Promise Center keeps hearing the welcome those folks receive here is better than anything. Over and over again, they've mentioned us as the friendliest, the warmest, the most welcoming place. And I'm thankful. The Caring Circle and this congregation have been there for families within our own congregation. You've arranged meals, visited the sick, and babysat children. In the words of Matthew in the Christian Bible, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. In prison and you came to visit me. This year, once again, you have lived your values. You've given your time and your money, your belongings and your love. For all that you have done and all that you will continue to do, I am so very thankful. The morning offering will now be given and received. Thank you so much for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of our community. This is the time in our service where we share together our joys and our concerns. Before the service, you're always welcome to come up and silently light a candle on the candle table. But at this point, we do this in two ways. We speak aloud and we light candles together. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Can you hear me?
Yep, there we go. This is Chris. As happy as I am for myself, because this year my family's going to be getting together in Iowa, for the first time in Iowa, and for the first time, the kid's dad and his wife are coming from Minnesota. The Tosa kids are coming, and we're all going to be with the Iowa family for the first time ever. But I have a sadness for a friend of mine. I just ran into her the other day. And she lost her 26-year-old son to addiction. So there's two sides to the coin. So I'm thinking of her.
Hi, I'm Jim Tyler, and a candle of celebration for our son, Calvin. He's on a great adventure and just received his final license for starting a microbrewery in China. So he's ready to go full production.
My name is Claire. A candle of concern for two people, actually. One is a coworker of mine who underwent emergency cataract surgery. He had something going wrong with his eyes, and it turned into an emergency, so I'm thinking of him. He's a really nice guy. And also for a college friend of mine who I haven't seen in quite a few years, he just found out he has cancer.
Hi, I'm Emily. I have a joy that my brother Noah is here visiting for Thanksgiving and his friend Melissa. So welcome, you guys.
And I'm here because I have lots of joys, and I'm very happy to be here. It was yesterday morning I woke up and found out I would be able to be here for Thanksgiving. I'm not terribly happy about coming from Florida and into the snow, but also it is, you know, we lived here in Wisconsin for a while, and it's nice to be back for a minute. I'm just happy to be with family. I'm happy to be able to call these people family and to know that they are, and my family all around. And I just thank God for people that can get together that don't necessarily believe, have all the same beliefs, core beliefs, but can get along and help a community to progress and be peaceful and help one another. So just happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas and whatever the holidays are that you, happy everything, really.
My joy is that we're all here today and we're going to have a big feast. My concern is the less fortunate people who probably, you know, go to homeless people who go from place to place or living in motel rooms. So I feel bad for them because they might not have this.
Two candles. One, a candle of concern for a very large number of people who were laid off from GE this week. But candle of gratitude that my husband was not one of them. So thankful for our continued financial and emotional well-being.
I'm really sad for the people who don't have, like, homes and stuff, and it's sad that they don't have clothes, and some people have to stand on cold places and hot places, and they can burn themselves, and it's sad for the people who can't afford to buy food, and they can't have homes.
Hi, my name is Jesse, and I just have, if you could light a candle of joy, my whole family's here, my husband Jake and our stepson Andrew, and we're celebrating his 9th birthday, Andrew, on Thanksgiving. So we're excited about that.
My name is Lynn, a candle of joy for Amy here in the pulpit. I guess, Amy, you're as human as everyone, and sometimes even you don't feel well, so nice to see you up there.
This is Jerry. Would you please light a candle of joy for a lifelong friend of mine and his wife who are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary today?
My name is Eric. One person's trash is another person's treasure. I'm grateful for the organ that was discarded from here. Tracy and I intercepted it on the way to the landfill and dragged it home, managed to have to cut apart the front door to get it into the house because we have a small house. But I have a battery-operated Sawzall, so it's all fine. This week, I managed to get all the electronics hooked up and rewired, and now my patient, long-suffering wife, after 34 years of living together and waiting patiently, your organist, my wife, now has an organ at home. Thank you.
My name is Al, and it's joyful to hear so many of our youth, Baden included, really caring about things that maybe past generations didn't pay attention to. So I'm encouraged by that. The second joy is somewhat selfish, I'm joining the Tylers in their celebration. Many of you may know that part of the creationism of this church is homebrewing. And the idea that a youth, an offspring of our church... Well, I'll say no more.
My name is Heidi, and my daughter Brianna wanted to talk about the joy of the snow we've been having. We actually had lots of fun shoveling the driveway, and then, of course, we had to go down every single hill in the yard, no matter how big or how small. And they're looking forward to sledding with cousins today.
My name is Chris, and I have a joy and concern. My family has been going through a difficult transition. My parents can't live alone anymore, and my mom is still in a rehab center, but we've moved my dad into an assisted living facility that we finally found after a long search. And so now he's safe and sound in a nice place that we found for him. And so the joy is that we found a place and that everything seems to be going well with that. The concern is it was a very difficult process to get them and us through.
My mother's sick, and I made her a thank you card in the morning. And I hope she feels better tonight. Sometime.
This is Stacy, a candle of concern for my father, who has some general health concerns and will be going in for a full knee replacement on Wednesday. So hope he does well.
I have two concerns and two joys. One of my joys is that the snow is here now and I really like the winter. And one of my joy, and the other is that I'm having like a science fair kind of thing at school tomorrow. And one of my concerns is that I'm worried for my mother because she's sick today. And the other one is life.
I forgot.
My name is Noah. I'm very happy to be here. I just have one joy. Just so happy to see my sister. Last time I saw her, she was finishing chemo, and she is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, doing absolutely wonderful. And I'm just very blessed that she is doing so good. And it's just good to see you with her and a mohawk. I love it. I'm very blessed. Very, very happy to be here. Thank you. This is a wonderful, wonderful place, you guys. Thank you.
My name is Erin, and I would just like to say that in the last month, I've been asked and just finished last night 3 different performances of stories that I had written myself. So, Candle of Joy, please.
And I'd like to light a candle of joy that I am here today and with all you wonderful people rather than sitting anywhere else, which was the possibility for a few days there. And I'm very glad to be here. Any more? And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows that we hold deeply, but which we have not been able to speak here today.
The gifts of earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it. Babies teeth on its corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instruction on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. At this table, we gossip. We recall enemies and ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us as they put their arms around our children. They laugh with us at our poor falling down selves as we put ourselves back together once again at the table. This has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at the table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate a terrible victory. We have given birth on this table and have prepared our parents' burials here. At this table, we sing with joy and with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at the kitchen table while we are laughing and crying and eating that last sweet bite.
Every day we experience hunger and yearning for food, for approval, for respect, for love, for meaningful work, for any and enough work, for home, for family, for friends, for health, for healing, for hope, for the departed, for the newly arrived, for the green trees and for the cool, clean waters, for shade and the heat of the day and for stars to light the velvet night. Every day we are invited anew to be thankful for food, for approval, for respect, for love, for meaningful work, for any and enough work, for home, for family, for friends, for health, for healing, for hope, for the departed, for the newly arrived, for the trees, for the waters, for the shade, for the stars. We experience hunger and yearning, and we are thankful. Our hearts beating in liberating flight, we soar in gratitude for all the gifts we have in this day, in this lifetime of being, and we turn again to share this bounty with all that is. Amen and blessed be. Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
An uneasy group of 12 men stands at the gates of Bethlehem. The sun gilds the fields covered in grain, and every one of them eagerly wants to return to his harvest. The case at hand, the buying of Elimelech's field. Elimelech had left many years ago during the famine to live across the Dead Sea in the land of Moab. Tragically, Elimelech died without leaving an heir, his sons having perished as well without having children. And his land must be redeemed to his closest relatives. Someone from the family must take care of the land and purchase it from the widow. The closest kin is offered the land. He gladly accepts to buy it. Then Boaz reveals the catch. When you acquire the property from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabite, you must also require the wife of the deceased so as to perpetuate the name of the deceased upon his state. The man freezes where he stands. Me? Marry that woman? A Moabite? Shuddering, he backs down. Then I cannot attempt it for myself, lest I impair my own estate. You, Boaz, take over my right of the redemption. What is this man's name? We do not know. The Bible calls him Poloni Elmoni, which means John Doe, every man, that nameless guy. Because he refused to redeem a soul, his name was forgotten. Because he was willing to accept the land, but not willing to reach out to the stranger, his memory was blotted out from the land. Boaz, knowing the kindness of Ruth, her enduring love for Naomi and her God, then responds, "You are my witnesses today that I am acquiring from Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to his sons. Even though they strayed away from the land and estranged themselves from the people, I am willing to take them back. I am also acquiring Ruth the Moabite. Yes, because it is no shame that she is a Moabite, the wife of Mahlon. Yes, she has a story. I honor and recognize it as my wife. I see her for as she is, all love and intention, not the conglomerate of her past and her lineage. You are my witnesses. I do this not secretly, not shamefully, but publicly, sanctifying and welcoming her into the loving arms of my family, and through this, my faith and my people." What was Boaz's reward? Boaz's great-grandson became King David. One single act of kindness, of openness, of inclusion, of this unpopular stranger led to the greatest king in Jewish history. A king whose lineage, we believe, will help to heal the world. Because he redeemed a soul, he brought redemption to the world. May we live in his example always. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body and spirit and join in singing number 407. We're going to sit at the welcome table.
Thank you.
Just like Boaz in the Jewish story, who made the decision to welcome an outsider. Every day we make choices about who to welcome, who to share our hospitality with. Let me give you a quote. When we speak of hospitality, we are always addressing issues of inclusion and exclusion. Each of us makes choices about who will and who won't be included in our lives. And issues of inclusion and exclusion, while personal, are not just personal. Our entire culture excludes many people. If you're in a wheelchair, for example, you're excluded because there are places you can't go. If you're very young, you get told, oh no, you can't do that. If you're very old, hospitality has an inescapable moral dimension to it. It's an issue involving what it means to be human. All of our talk about hospitable openness doesn't mean anything as long as some people continue to get tossed aside. But calling hospitality, the quote goes on, a moral issue doesn't tell us the whole truth about hospitality either. A moral issue can get bogged down in legalisms. Hospitality isn't a legal, ethical issue. It is instead a spiritual practice, a way of becoming more human, a way of understanding yourself. Hospitality is both the answer to modern alienation and injustice and a path to deeper spirituality. That quote comes from Daniel Homan and Lonnie Gollins Pratt in their book Radical Hospitality, Benedict's Way of Love. John O'Donohue said, may you listen to your longing to be free. May the frames of your belongings be large enough for the dreams of your soul. May you arise each day with a voice of blessing whispering in your heart something good is going to happen to you. May you find harmony between your soul and your life. May the mansion of your soul never become a haunted place. It's a beautiful line. May the mansion of your soul never become a haunted place. May you know the eternal longing that lies at the heart of time. May there be kindness in your gaze when you look within. May you never place walls between the light and yourself. May you be set free from the prisons of guilt, fear, disappointment, and despair. May you allow the wild beauty of the world to gather you, mind you, and embrace you in belonging. And Rumi said, this being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, treat each guest honorably. They may be cleaning you out for some new delight. The dark, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing. Invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. We talk about welcome here every week. We let people know in our opening and our welcome words that they are safe here, no matter who they are. And Unitarian Universalists have been saying this for quite a while. But relatively recently, we've added a newer term to our vocabulary, and that term is radical hospitality. Radical hospitality is more than simply opening our doors and saying, you are welcome here. It's more than saying, come in and be a guest in our home. Come in and be a guest. You are welcome here. That is the moral hospitality that Homan and Pratt were referring to. That's the hospitality that many of you have seen in your own lives, especially at this time of the year. Moral hospitality is a practice that says, I want to include you because it's right morally that you be included. It leads us to things like our own guest at the table program, where we as the UUA and individual congregations send money each year to programs and people whose work and goals align with our own social justice programs. Moral hospitality is what calls us to invite a childless elderly neighbor to our home for Thanksgiving dinner. It's what has us remodel our churches so that there is scooter parking in the back. It's what has us add hearing impaired headsets so that the deaf or hearing impaired can join us for a service. When we make sure that underprivileged families have Christmas or Hanukkah gifts, when we invite guests to our own holiday dinners, when we claim inclusion or fairness, this is a moral goal, and it may be a legal goal, and it's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. Saint Benedict, the founder of the Christian Benedictine monastic order, set up a simple rule over 1,500 years ago. At a time when monks were not wealthy and travel was not common, he commanded the brothers at his monasteries to follow a simple rule with no exceptions for any reason. Now think about this, 1,500 years ago. I can think of a lot of people that most people would have considered exceptions to a hospitality rule. A woman, a person with dark skin, a leper, a Moor, a Muslim, someone lost and unfamiliar. 1,500 years ago, the general response to these folks would have been to slam the door in their face, if not to remove them from existence, if they didn't go away quietly. And in a time when that was the guideline, kill them if they aggravate you too much. Benedict said, all guests who present themselves are to be welcomed as Christ. No exceptions. You treat them like they were the Messiah. Period. No elaboration. No ifs, no ands, no buts. If you came to the door, you were welcomed with an unconditional welcome, exactly as if you were the Messiah. This is not moral hospitality. This is not something legal. This is not about morality. This is a spiritual practice. It isn't about fairness. It isn't about do they deserve it. It isn't about how well-dressed or how much they smell. It's a practice designed to step beyond inclusion and exclusion, to allow the mansion of your soul to be free from becoming a haunted place. It speaks to Rumi's version of all, the good, the bad, the weird, the strange, the sick. All are welcome. They bring something. It speaks to our idea of a connected web where every piece has value. We may not understand the value, but every piece has value. Benedict didn't create this idea. This is not a Christian idea. In ancient Greece, hospitality was a right. What a change on the American idea of this. It was a right. If you went to the door and you knocked, hello, I'm here. If the host did not say to you immediately, welcome in. Welcome, here is wine. Here is food. The host was considered terrible. Lower class. The higher your social standing and the more noble you were, the more important your welcome was, that you welcomed anyone who came. The Greek Stoics said that Zeus himself required this as a spiritual discipline. In India, the principle and the translation is, the guest is God. The guest who comes to your door should be treated as if they were a god themselves, no matter what they look like.
There are hundreds of Indian folk stories of guests who actually turned out to be gods. It makes sense, so just treat everybody as if they were. The practice is one of self-help rather than charity. You're not doing it out of kindness. You're doing it because you need to for a spiritual practice. Judaism requires you to welcome guests, to feed them and comfort and entertain them. And when the guest, not you, when the guest has had enough, you're responsible for two things. One, you have to escort them safely out. It's your job. And two, you have to wish them well as they go. Not just get them off your property, but legitimately be glad for wherever they're going and wherever their journey is taking them. Without that peace, all the rest falls down. Radical hospitality gets called different things in different cultures. The practices change a little, but the base is the same. Welcome the stranger as beloved. Welcome the stranger as divine. Welcome him for your own sake. Become a living guest house of new ideas and new people. UU writer David Reinick said, practicing hospitality isn't something we can appoint people to do. It's not a set of techniques or behaviors we use on people. This isn't manners. The spiritual practice of hospitality is a radical act. It goes to the heart, the core of who we are as people, which is relational and covenantal. It's not a technique for getting new members into the church. It's an expression of who we are, and it has to go beyond church walls. It has to become the lens that we see the world through, because we need that lens. Since 2012, Syria, a country that's about the size of Washington State, and for those of you who don't know, it is located between Turkey, Iraq, Lebanon, Israel, and Jordan. They're all clustered together. It's been in a state of increasing conflict since 2012, with a Saudi-Iranian proxy war driving the situation to nightmarish levels. 4 million Syrians have fled that country. If you have not seen the pictures, they're scary. According to Forbes, there are very few Syrian refugees in the U.S., however. Since October 1, 2012, a total of 2,128 of those 4 million are here. Let those numbers sink in a minute. And these numbers are correct as of yesterday, just so you know that. These are not old numbers. Right now, there are 4,900 more in the pipeline. Out of the currently 31 states who have said no refugees, 6 of those have not had a single refugee settle since 2012. So not only are they not welcome, they've never been welcome. Only 2% of Syrian refugees admitted to America are males of military age. 50% are children, about the age of our kids that are in here today. 25% are above the age of 65. And these are stats from the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants. These are not from a third-party source. These are directly from the immigration stats. It takes 4 years for refugees to be approved to enter the U.S. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees puts them through a 2-year screening process. And then the American screening process takes another 2 years. And you don't get to pick if you come here or go somewhere else. When you petition as a refugee, you go where you are told to go, whichever country can currently take folks. So it's open. For comparison, we issue tens of thousands of tourist and student visas a year, which have minor security checks, but no stringent screening process. So the refugees sound frightening, but they're not. They're tired. They're scared. They're men and women and kids. They like to play. They like to go out and play soccer. Women like to cook in their kitchens. The men like to laugh with their families. They are strangers in a strange land, travelers who didn't get to pick their destination. And this is some of what radical hospitality is all about. Being brave even when we're frightened. Being hospitable as a spiritual practice, even when it may scare us. And this is what our national holiday of Thanksgiving is all about, gratitude for what we have, sharing with others. We have a lovely folk legend of the holiday that is two unlikely groups, the First Nations tribes and pilgrims who were fleeing religious persecution. And we say they managed to eat together in celebration. Though we know now that this story is a cleaned up myth, and for those of you who are little people, it's a lie, we want it to be true. We want smiling pilgrims and smiling First Nations folk to be sitting at a table with a lovely turkey. It's a good story. We want to be the inheritors of a country based on collaboration. So I want you to leave this room today and to have an amazing lunch in a few minutes. And I want you to go home and I want you to feel good. We've done a lot of good this year. And I want you to think about adding one more joyous thing to your life, the practice of hospitality as a radical act, whatever that means to you. The practice of hospitality as a spiritual act. For your own sake, welcome the stranger. Set a welcome table, not for honored guests. Don't ask somebody into your home, but for a guest who belongs there, who does you a spiritual service by being there. Recognize that your benefits far outweigh those of any stranger you welcome, any good you do. Doesn't matter what the context. Doesn't matter if it's a Syrian refugee or an American homeless vet, an asylum seeker or a jobless mother. Give thanks for all you have, how wonderful the things we have are. Give thanks for all you can do, because you do so much and you are incredible. And set a welcome table. Amen.
The flame is extinguished, but not our hope for the future, our courage in the face of crisis, or the love we all share in the world. Body and spirit, and join in singing number 1028 in the Teal Hymnal, Fire of Commitment. Thank you.
May we give thanks this week and every week in a world of support, love, and joy. Peace, and may it be so. And please remain silent as I offer a brief grace as we prepare to go and enjoy our amazing potluck. I ask today that you would lead the church over on that side by the organ, not on this side. Spirit of life, may we ever grow as a community and as a church of seekers. We give thanks for all that we have received, and we give joyful thanks for all that we have been blessed to give this year. Peace. Amen. Assalam. Thank you.